I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta. Today on the show, I am joined by my season three sister and a pillar of the Atlanta drag community. The one and only Phoenix is here. Not Phoenix ATL. Her name is Phoenix. We chat about regional drag, being a showgirl, being a show producer, tipping like this. But first, do you want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful. Oh, are you intellectual like me? Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times? Like me? Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman who will turn around and go home if there's no parking, and she'll be cool. Real cool, I promise. But first, let's get into some things that are Very Delta. Where is everyone's manners? I'm so worried about manners. It really, really matters. Manners matter, and I see it reflected every day in so many different ways. You know, people always will say, like, anybody who complains about something is a Karen. Oh my gosh, you're such a Karen. And I don't think that's true. I think we all have those tendencies, but this may be Karen-y of me, whatever. You know, we talk about the tipping culture being out of control, and I have lived my life in an art form that requires tipping or suggests tipping or expects tipping, whatever. I've always lived by this theory that people that come to a drag show are not required to tip, but it is something that we do. It's part of the culture. We encourage it. So, you know, you have little ways of saying to people, you know, the way that you want them to do it. And there's always been that thing of the people like holding out a dollar and then pulling it back because they're like, come get it. Like, what you're doing on stage is not enough. So I need to see you like really, really earn this dollar. Like, I'm not going to. And I don't partake in that. I need the dollar. And you know, I need that dollar. And you know damn well I'm going to reach out for you if you hold that dollar in front of me. But when you start doing this back and forth, I can't do it. I cannot. I remember one time it was happening and I was at a breaking point. I was in Palm Springs. I was in a place where like people respected me, I thought. And there was somebody that was doing that. And I lost my mind. And I just got on my hands and knees and started barking. I was like, this is what you want. This is what you see this as. This is what you find funny. And I almost hold the space for somebody who's never, I can tell, because you can tell, somebody who's never been to a drag show before and they have no idea what's happening and they think like it's being silly. And it's usually a straight person who's a little uncomfortable and they're trying to like ingratiate or they're trying to like wrap themselves around what's happening because they don't know. And so and you have to differentiate. I'm at a brunch. It's a lot of straight people. You're just providing the color for them. It's their party. We've gone over this before. All they're going to remember is what was sparkly, what smelled good, who was funny, what they got to sing along to, and who had big tits and a big ass. Like, that's what they remember because they want to take that picture on their phone and go, you're not going to believe what I saw this weekend. Look at, can you even believe it? So usually they'll be engaging and it'll be fun, right? And so you have to have that mindset. You're not going to go into a show, a brunch show, and think, oh, I'm going to do this retelling of this, that, or the other, because they don't want to think. But the thing that I've been experiencing lately, and it's not everywhere, but it's been happening pretty frequently, and not just to me, because I have this conversation with a lot of people. And if it's not happening to you and you're a drag entertainer somewhere else, thank God it's not happening to you, because I really hope it's not. I hope it's isolated to a region or a group. I'm hoping it's isolated because I feel like then we can figure it out, right? It's when you just, as an MC, you go out and you're like, hey, welcome to the show. And you go out to start your number. That's what I like to do. I like to announce the show. I start a number. I go out because I want to be the first person to take the hit for the other entertainers in the show. So I figure if I go out and I don't really get tipped, well, whatever, because, you know, this is people still settling down, getting their drinks, you know, moving through, whatever. It's fine. But this idea of like not clapping, just not clapping, not making a noise, not being surprised, not being affected in any way. It's happening more often than not. And of course, I have to sit back and say, okay, what's the immediate factor? It's happening to you. What is it that you're bringing to the table? And why do you think that maybe it could be your fault? Like, are they just not gagged? Are you not gag worthy? Are you boring? Are you ugly? Are you not putting enough effort forward? Usually for me, I feel like the opening number should be sort of this welcoming number idea. It doesn't have to be the most, you know, something you have to put a lot of thought into. It could just be a hello, I'm here sort of number, right? And I have a ton of those. I have a ton of those. But it's so unnerving when no one claps and you come out and you think, all right, I'm taking that hit. And then you go around and you're sort of entertaining to an area and emoting to this group and this group. And people are like on their phone, or they like look up and they look the other way. Or they're like, ah, and then we're going to go do this. And then we're going to go fucking party afterwards. And we're going to fucking hit some coke. And then we're going to booty bump. And bitch, I don't give a fuck. And they're talking. And you're like, all right. Maybe they're still, they've never done this before. Maybe they've never left their home. Maybe they've never seen a piece of live theater. Maybe the only time they ever got to go to the movies was with like, I don't know, like a gift card. I don't know. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. But so, you know, I'll go through. Then I'll get on that mic. Hey, what's going on? How y'all feeling? And there's just kind of this like malaise, this like, okay, what's going on? And I'm thinking in a space where it's live theater, it is your job to clap, to, I mean, if you're at a seminar, if you're at a seminar that you don't even want to be at, and someone's up and they're like, yeah, and we've got this next new generation, this, this, and this, and the next person coming up is going to talk about it. Please make welcome Laura Appleby. And people will just, oh, Laura Appleby. Well, that's good. Maybe they're only there because they're going to be getting a gift card afterwards. Like whoever attends and listens to the whole ceremony or the whole session, you're going to get something, right? So you're going to clap. I don't understand why you wouldn't take that same effort to a place that you paid to be. I don't understand. Like, and especially knowing that drag has been under such an attack, it's really fucking weird to me. Like, I hold more space for straight people, for cis people to behave that way than I do for queer people, because I feel like queer people have the responsibility to like be in the front, right? To be arm in arm in front, marching in front, saying this is a respected art form in our community. And when I go sit and I take in this type of art form, and my favorite entertainer is not out right now, but will be coming out, I'm going to applaud for everyone because, yes, I have my favorite, but they all need to be respected. And it's part of my job as a member of this community to show other members of a community, this is how we behave here. This is how we respect. This is how we show love. This is how we give people a little bit of dignity. It affects me personally because I'm invested. I love what I do. I like making people happy. I like being a local queen. Sure, I love having a national, if not international, platform with this. If I had my way, I would podcast all day long. I love it. I love talking. I love talking to people. I love interviewing people. Anytime something comes up, I'm like, I want to do it. Put me in. Let me be somebody's sidekick. Let me be the host. Let me, in some way, let me write. It's just like, what a weird time to be alive in your life. It's like, what does Dolly Parton say? Design, refine, and shine. And I always thought in my 20s, I was designing what it is that I wanted. And then in my 30s, I would sort of whittle away those things that worked and didn't work because we're refining it. And then in your 40s, you shine, right? But what do you do? Like, what do you do after that? What's next? And you know what? Listen, Jasmine Masters said it best a long time ago. RuPaul's Drag Race fucked up drag. But also put drag on a really great platform and gave people opportunity. It's not really Drag Race that did it. It's people who go, well, I watch Drag Race on TV, so I support drag. No, you don't support drag. Your favorite Drag Race contestants you're supporting when you watch the show. But when you're out and about and you're at a show seeing how this art form really moves and you aren't even clapping, it's fucking free to clap. It is free. And to not do that just out of bare bones, basic respect. I'm not saying you have to gag and jump up and down and scream and drop your whole paycheck off to every single drag entertainer. I'm not saying that. I am saying if you go, you are fucking obligated to clap when somebody's name is announced. A normal applause would be, oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. That's cool. Like, nobody's asking you to fucking jack off and fucking go off and be like, oh, fuck, this is going to change my life. Like, I'm not expecting that. And there is something so magical about a crowd that is there to see whatever it is that is being offered up. Again, you know, I go to Fat Slut. I go to a show like Exposure. You know, these communities where you mix together so many different types of entertainment. So I pine for these times when, like, when it does happen and, like, two or three people clap, I feel like, wow, I fucking succeeded. But that's really weird because back in the day when two or three people would clap, you would be like, wow, this kind of sucks. Like, they're not that into it. How do we get the crowd? Again, I would take full ownership of it if I thought it's just me feeling this way. But when there are groups of people or everyone in the show is talking about this feeling, it's really, really strange. You have to do it like this. Woo! 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 Give me COVID. Give me COVID for $1, for $2. Please, I'm so hungry. Oh, please. Let me lick your money. Let me put my money in a blender and drink it because it's so different. Such a surprise to do that. Please. Was this in a stripper's asshole? Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Make sure and shove it all the way in my throat. What else should I do for that $2? What do you do when people try to give you $2? How do you beg for it? How about this? How about, hey, I like what you're doing. Here you go. Oh, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Like, why more? I think where a lot of this comes from is the fact that people do not think that drag is an art form. They do, in fact, think the drag entertainers are here as a backdrop color for our party. And whatever they do should involve us laughing at them, not laughing with them. And I don't like people fucking laughing at me. I like people laughing with me. Do you want to see me take a break? Because I want to see me take a break.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Star series Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and on the Stars app. Honey,
let's do it.
My guest today is a drag professional, a producer, a showgirl, and my sister from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 3, Phoenix.
Hi, Delta.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here.
I am so excited to be here. I really am. Yeah. I love Very Delta. It's fucking hilarious. It's one of these that, like, some things you say, I didn't think that they bothered me, and then when you brought them up, I'm like, wait a minute, that actually pisses me off also.
I love that. I love that. Well, I need that. I need people to agree with me because really, you know, these musings, baby, they're not, there's bigger problems in the world. Right. We know it. We know it.
It's still fucking hilarious,
but
though.
There's shit that just gets on our nerves. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
The second you walked in, I could smell you. I love when someone has like their signature mm-hmm. fragrance. I've never smelled this fragrance before, but it is your signature, and
I love it.
Is
Christian Dior Addict. Ain't it good? I love it. I love
layered,
it.
It's layered. It's rich.
Thank you. It has this like almost like a little bit of a masculine tone to it.
Oh, there's a gender play going on.
Yes, I love it. It's my favorite. I've mm-hmm. worn it for years, so I love it.
Yeah, when I smell it, I think, okay, I've never smelled something right. like that together. So now I feel like if I ever smell it again,
you're gonna be like, that's Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's certain people, right?
And I knew, I was like, coming into this, Delta is a big fragrance whore. So I was like, I've got to make sure I smell right. So.
Oh, it smells so good.
Thank you.
How long have you worn that?
Oh my God. Years.
Yeah, like, it's something you've just
very, very
fell
long
in love
time.
With.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll kind of go and do something else. But for the most part, this uh-huh. is my like signature scent. So
yeah. I remember, I don't know if this is in your whole life that mm-hmm. you're this organized of a person,
uh-huh.
but I remember you brought me out to Atlanta to work
uh-huh.
and you were going through some jewelry and bitch, anybody out there, this bitch had jewelry for every color of the rainbow, but you had it so organized. Do you organize everything that way?
No, if you could see my drag room right okay. now, it's a disaster. But the jewelry, I put them all in these like plastic kind of briefcase looking things
yeah.
and they have like little pockets and yeah but
yeah I mean you pay enough for it you don't want
hello
it. Right
hello
right.
yes but no my drag room right now is a complete disaster. It's one of those like you because I work a lot so I come yeah. in I have a bag and sometimes I put everything away and then most of the time it just kind of goes in a bin and repack and yeah, mm-hmm. so it's right now a disaster so yeah. someone come clean it.
Do you ever think when you're leaving for a show like do you like to get ready at home or get ready at the gig?
So normally especially if I'm at my home bar Future I have like a little dressing area uh-huh. that's kind of mine so I get ready there but some of my other shows I do get ready at home.
Yeah
it's kind of like my moment to kind of be in my head be in uh-huh. my thoughts and just kind of escape for a minute. It's kind of yeah. a little therapeutic so
yeah, I feel like I love getting ready at the gig, but I'm that person who, if I'm going to get ready at home, I always think, I'm not going to take my full suitcase. I'm just going to take what I need.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
And
yeah.
I always forget something.
Girl, I know, every time.
Always, right? Now, Phoenix, I've always known you as Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
But like Raja, people know Raja as Raja.
Right.
But then there came a point where people were like, oh, Raja Gemini, Phoenix ATL.
It's so funny.
Tell me.
So it is so funny when I go somewhere and they'll call me Phoenix ATL. And I'm like, do you really think ATL is my last name? Like, really? I guess it was social media. You had to put
Facebook.
A last. Yeah, yeah, you had to put a last name. And so I put it in there. But the stupidity that I feel when people are like, Phoenix ATL. I'm like, you really thought that was my
right,
name?
Right.
Like, it's so embarrassing, girl.
It is weird.
It's so weird. Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people, when they see people on Drag Race, and then they're like, oh, that person's moving to LA.
Right.
Or that person is must be their first time in LA. But, you know, I knew you prior to that,
yep.
obviously,
right.
because you were in LA.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
I lived here off and on for like three years, something like that. I went home a lot. And then, you know, my sister, she got pregnant with my first nephew, and I kind of missed home. I missed being near my family. So I moved back home. And, you know, I love Atlanta. I yeah. love to, you know, every time I start to think about leaving, I'm like, why? It's right. great. It's home for me. So I like to be able to visit LA and then go back home.
So
why do you think outsiders from that are not from Atlanta always say Hotlanta?
It's I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. That's not what people in Atlanta say.
So, and it's funny because we were talking about the other night. If you're from Atlanta, I don't even think there's a T in Atlanta.
Right.
It's like Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah. So Californians do that. Sacramento. I think, yeah. Well, it depends. Southern California and Northern California, like different sort of dialect
right.
in a way.
Yeah, when people say Atlanta, I'm like, no, it's Atlanta.
Right. I don't know what it is about the South and specifically the Atlanta girls.
Right.
But like, I've always felt like that was where I like had my immediate connection on Drag Race or all the girls. I always feel like, I guess, because I always wanted to be a Southern Belle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the closest I can get is a Southern California Belle. Right. But all the girls from Atlanta are always like, so, I feel like it's always so extra accommodating to me.
Aww.
And are always make me feel like I'm a Southern Belle in
I
a
love
way.
That.
Like I feel so
good.
Like, what is it called when you give somebody an honorary?
Yeah.
It felt
I love
like that. You, Sonique, Nicole, like all the girls, Mariah, all the girls. I always feel so like welcomed.
Oh, I love that
and
though.
And the other girls too, but something about the, what is it about Atlanta?
I don't know. It's that Southern hospitality.
It is.
You know, for me, like, you know, I book a lot of girls from all over the place. And mine is also as someone who travels, when I bring someone in, I like to make sure that they are fully taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that I want them to be comfortable in my home, in my bar. I like that feeling of mm-hmm. being comfortable. Because I know what it's like to go somewhere and really have no clue what is going on.
Right.
You know what it's like to get to a gig and just be like lost. So I like when I bring girls in that they just are comfortable and happy mm-hmm. when they leave. So,
well, I remember when I was out there, Rhea happened to be out there at
uh-huh.
the same time.
Uh-huh.
And you were like, what do you want to eat? And I was like, I really want like a Southern meal. And you were like, enough said.
Gotcha, girl.
And you fucking got on. You ordered this food. And I had never had something so damn good.
Oh, I love that.
It was so, so right. Well, I just love, I mean, I love everything about the idea of
right.
Southern comfort food or a Sunday dinner. And just, it's so true. Like, you really are a professional hostess as
Thank
a job,
you.
But also as friends, you like to make people feel.
Absolutely.
Is that your family that way as well?
Yeah, I just kind of grew up very, with a loving environment. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And you have like the best figure ever.
Thank you.
But you treat yourself. You know
I
what
do.
You like.
I
but
do.
You also
mm-hmm.
like this commitment to your figure. I mean, the legs are to die
Thank
for.
You.
Always.
These things.
Can we see? Are your shoes showing up on there? There they are.
There they are.
Bitch,
get it, honey.
You don't play. You don't play. What is that? How do you strike that balance between treating yourself, but also looking perfection?
Well, I enjoy the gym.
Mm-hmm. You do.
I enjoy that. It's kind of a stress reliever. So, you know, I do cardio, actually work out. And then, yeah, I mean, I do like to indulge. I have a sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I also know that, you know, part of my job is to be looking snack.
Right. Because you love fashion. You love yeah. you love wearing. You love all of the, like, revealing things. You love
I mean, this
that.
This corset also kind of helps the situation.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But you know your line. You know how
right.
to present.
I have an amazing designer, and he knows my body really mm-hmm. well. So we make sure that everything is cut to be figure friendly.
Right.
And, you know, when I'm having that little moment where I'm feeling a little thick, you know, mm-hmm. I've got costumes that kind of
sure.
can pull it all in together.
Sure.
So
I love that because I feel like I know that you're, like, I know exactly how far up it has to go
yes.
before it's starting to show too much. So
uh-huh.
let's bring it right there.
Right at the line.
But you know, your designer knows, like, when you fit for something, some people go, yeah, no, you know my measurements. It'll be fine. But everything responds differently.
It does.
And
yeah.
so you might have to walk in something and you're like, actually, this fabric, when I walk,
right.
my whole crotch is out.
Completely.
I don't want that, or I do want that.
Correct. And I mean, and Chris, he can make things. We've been working together for so many years. He knows my body and he knows exactly what I like. He knows how far up on the side. He knows all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I'm very, very fortunate to have someone that knows my body. So mm-hmm. it definitely helps out with it.
So when you travel,
mm-hmm.
do you, is there certain things that you take on the plane with you that you, like some people like to take
my
their makeup.
Makeup?
You like to take your makeup.
Yeah. I carry my makeup with me. I feel like I could make a costume. I could rush. And I know you could go to the store and grab makeup if you needed, but my makeup, I have to have it. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's my carry on.
I feel like a lot of girls, and this is no shade on newer seasons, but I feel like a lot of girls from older seasons
uh-huh.
just have had that experience of losing so much stuff or getting somewhere and being like, well, this zipper broke. What am I going to do?
Right.
I was always, you know, sort of brought up and dragged to be like, you better have some backup black dress or something you can throw on. You might have to be on the microphone. You might have to do X, Y, and Z. And that's kind of how we were raised.
Yeah.
It's like everybody needs to know how to be on the microphone.
Right.
Some people will do it a little bit better. But
yes.
You better be able to finish a show if somebody gets sick.
You know, it is, there was a queen, her name was Lily White. Mm-hmm. She used to always say, like, your looks are going to fall. You're not going to be able to dance like you once were able to. She was like, but your voice will live forever. She was like, get a mic in your hand.
Yeah. I mean, you do it so often.
Yeah.
What do you like doing? Weekly shows, cast shows, private events? Like
do all of it. You know, I am the entertainment director at Future Nightclub. So we have shows there on the weekend. I'm at Blake's on the Park. So, you know, I do a lot of like local, but I also, you know, I manage other girls as well. So I send myself, other girls, we do corporate, private events, we do all kind of stuff. So I, you know, I have a production company, Phoenix Entertainment, and, you know, it's been amazing to do a huge variety of things. It's not just about doing shows inside of a nightclub. So, and drag is insane now. So it's everywhere.
I think that's the magic, too, is like with the job that you have,
right?
You know, you get different events that will come forward. So, for instance, Pride season's coming up and you want to put people out. You might have girls that say, oh, I want to work the festival.
Right.
But you have to think to yourself, are you the right entertainer for the festival or are you the right entertainer for in the club?
Right.
Because that
and there is a difference.
There is, because you can get a girl lost on a big stage. Even though she's sickening.
Right, right, yeah.
Right? How does that work
for
you?
Because, I mean, I produce the Starlight Cabaret, and it has been, like, the closing of Atlanta Pride for, like, over 30 years. And I have about 20 to 25 different performers. So we have so much drag in Atlanta, so I have to be very strategic about who I put up there, because it is. It's a huge stage with thousands of people in the crowd. So I can't just put anyone up there.
Right.
It's got to be someone that is an entertainer. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference. You know, not everyone is a performer, is an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially in today's time where everyone thinks that they can do drag now. So, you know, I've got to be very, very strategic about the right people.
Yeah, I mean, some people do take it personally, but it's
they
like you're marketing an entire show.
Right.
And it comes back on you.
It does.
And it's not throwing shade on somebody saying, it's not that I don't think you're lovely.
Right.
Or it's not that I don't think that you are valid. It has to work within this period of time.
Right.
It needs to flow from one to the other because, you know, the show, like we
right,
said,
right.
ebbs and flows in a way.
Yep.
But some people do take it personally.
Oh, they definitely do.
It's tough.
Yeah. They do.
Because you're not trying to hurt anyone's feelings.
But if it happens, it happens. All drag is valid, girl.
Let's take a break. And we are back with Phoenix talking about all drag being valid. Yeah, you know, here we have
something like that.
We hold the space for everybody wanting to do drag.
We do. Course. We do.
Right.
All drag may be valid, but not all drag is bookable.
Yeah, it's,
it's
tough when you're
not.
Because you're marketing a brand,
right.
A name, anything like that.
Well, it's also like, I mean, how long have you been doing this?
Oh my gosh, since 97?
Yeah, so I'm like 23 years in it, and I think like you know, we come from a time where not everyone did drag, and,
right.
and the art form of what we do, there is an artistry to it, and you know, when we came up, you had to do your own makeup, make your own wigs, make your own costumes, perform, MC, like it was a full, you know, but now... I feel like the artistry is kind of suffering. Like, don't get me wrong. I love how mainstream and how big drag has
right.
become. But, you know, now you can watch a YouTube video to learn how to do your makeup. You can order some hair offline. You can order a costume. You know, the artistry. I wish that some of these kids would kind of study the art
mm-hmm.
and not just kind of throw themselves in drag.
Mm-hmm.
There's a history to what we do. And I hope that kind of stays alive and doesn't get lost in yeah. all the mainstreamness of it.
I mean, I feel like one of the first, when you say study it, one of the first things I can remember seeing back in the day was, I think it was Drag Time, mm-hmm. the documentary. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I first saw Lily White.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you look back at something like that and you really do see how rich
yeah.
it once was
right.
and how people would sort of defer to and pay respect to
right.
the people that were around them that were doing it. And this, it was no shade. It's not like anyone was saying, come kiss my ass.
Right.
It was saying, come sit with me.
Yeah.
Come learn with me. Come watch me.
I was so fortunate to grow with, you know, queens like Charlie Brown.
Oh, my God.
Goddess Raven, Shauna Brooks. You know,
perfection.
Like perfection. And I remember there was a club called Backstreet. And mm-hmm. Backstreet was a 24-hour club, 7 days a week. But they had a cabaret upstairs and they did shows, you know, throughout the weekend. They had a junior cast on Wednesdays.
Okay.
And so I got put on the junior cast. And I was so young, so new to all this. So I remember going to tip Shauna. And Shauna was like, Charlie wants to see you in the back. Now, nervous yeah. wreck going back there because you walk in and you're in the dressing room with like goddesses, mm-hmm. like masters of the craft. And Charlie was like, I've been hearing good things about you. And she booked me for to be on the weekend show.
Wow.
And that was just such a moment that I would just, you know, always remember because it was
yeah.
just being in a room with these legendary queens and seeing people that were just masters at what they do. I was very, very, very fortunate. So
it's just, I feel like some of these people that you mentioned mm-hmm. are definitely, even though I've never met most of them,
right.
The people that I do know that knew them would always say, these are people who take what they do seriously,
yep.
but not themselves seriously.
Right.
And that's something that people don't get. Everybody wants to be a star. So they're like, oh, a star, the most attainable thing I think I could do is just start doing drag, get on
right.
Drag Race, and then maybe somebody will sponsor me to put up an ad on Instagram
right.
and I'm a star.
Right. No.
But they don't really have a passion for it. And
like it drives me crazy when I'm like, when I'll ask a younger performer, why did you start doing drag?
Because
mm-hmm. I want to get on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the reason you started doing drag?
Right.
Like that's great to have a goal, but
sure.
like I want you to start drag because you love the art of it.
Right.
You love the transformation part of it. But your whole purpose of starting drag is specifically for Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, that always just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
I've always felt like a drag entertainer is really a specifically a career where you have to know a little bit about everything. And
right.
you hit on that earlier
right.
when you said, we used to do our wig, da, da, da. But like, you have to know a little bit about photography.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to make an outfit. I'm not saying it has to be perfect, and I'm not saying
right.
you can't use a glue gun.
Right.
It just, you need to get it on you somehow.
Right.
You need to be able to fluff up a wig.
Yep.
You need to be able to model through something.
Yep. Even down to like knowing that, that's one thing about when I started my production, because I know lighting. I know that the small things that makes drag come to life.
Right.
And, you know, now I can go in somewhere and be like, I need these lights fixed. I need the system to do this. Because,
right.
it takes a lot of tricks to make drag mm-hmm. be as grand and big as it is.
And that's why it's so important to, like, really sort of be around these people that have done it for a long
right.
time. Just so you can hear those words
oh, yeah.
and go, oh, I didn't know you could ask that. It gives you the confidence
does,
to say,
right.
I didn't know I could speak up for myself.
Right.
And you can. You should.
Absolutely.
Because not everybody knows. I think it's always funny when you hear like a young queen, when you'll hear someone say, what color did you want? And they'll say, do green or do blue. And I get that you think it's going to look like, Avatar
right.
or something.
Right, right, right.
It's not going to come out that way,
it's
baby.
It's not. No.
It's not going to
work. And when you
like
put
that.
like a yellow filter or something, it just, depending on your skin tone, it can make you look really crazy. So
yeah.
you have to know all those kind of things.
Right.
Because we all know, the right lighting or the wrong lighting can change everything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like drag, no matter how fierce your makeup is, you put drag walking through Kroger,
right.
it's gonna look a little crazy, girl.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So, you know, it definitely is those little moments and things
yeah.
that really kind of bring it all to life. So
yeah.
lots of bells and tricks and whistles. So,
I mean, I have people all the time that are like, they'll comment, they'll say, oh, you don't age. And I'll message back, like, or I'll comment, and I'll say, you know, the filters do great things.
Uh-huh.
And then people will say, like, oh, my gosh, why do you filter so much? And I'm thinking, it's for me, I remember
right.
Matthew saying, it's the next step in cosmetic application.
Right.
Like, this is how you're going, when you see me in person, you're right. going to go, yeah, she looked like that picture. Was it sweetened? Of course it was.
Of course. And that is actually like, you know, I'll filter things, but it's,
sure.
you know, when I show up, you're not like, who the fuck is this?
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, looking like Beauty in the photo and
right.
then the Beast in
I
person.
I want a little like makeup fallout to go away.
Yeah, of
I
course.
Want the corner of my mouth. But I mean, I'm not trying to tell people like, right. ooh, take those arms off of me. And like, girl, no.
Because babe, when I tell you I have booked girls and they show up and you're like.
Stop it.
Who is that?
Like, right,
it's
right.
a completely different person. So no, I like to filter and touch up, but I mean, you still know what you're getting in person. So,
right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's too, when you see people do like celebrities.
Right.
And then they like really go in and like yeah. alter. And it's like, they,
baby,
you got to try to do that with makeup.
I'm going to be pissed off if you show up and you don't look like your damn photo.
Right,
so
right.
I'll be pissed off.
And I love when people like, you know, I love doing Adele, but I try to keep it where I'm like, I do the looks that I think
right.
are the most accurate for me.
Right,
and of
right.
course, suspension of disbelief, people are going to go, well, you're a guy, and
right.
well, it's going to be a little bit different. I understand. I
mean, it's not going to be, you know, perfect.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I do Reba as an illusion.
And you know which Reba works for you.
I know what Reba
That's
works
for. That's where I was going
me.
With this.
And it's like, you know, I mean, there's Chad Michaels is a illusion master. You know, he definitely, when he shows up, he gives you that illusion. You know, I know that I'm not like a dead ringer for Reba, you know, but it still gets the job done.
Well, you know what I mean? what you're going to do
right.
and what the trappings are. Like, you're not right. trying to be like, oh, I'm going to put a 1983 album cover of Reba McEntire on. Like, that's not going
right,
to work.
Right, 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 right.
You may know what that is.
Right.
But other people are going to be like, what is that supposed to be? Well, she's recognizable in the red dress. She's recognizable in this kind of
right.
hair. These are the colors I'm going to use. Yeah,
yeah and,
I love
and,
that.
Yeah, and I mean, I love playing with the illusions. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a whole, you know, I always tell my girls, have one illusion under your belt.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the corporate stuff earlier. People still, one of the first questions they'll ask is like, who do you do?
Right.
You know, and I used to be so weird with that because I'm like, I do me. I do Phoenix.
Yeah.
But you know, they kind of want the divas, the Cher, you know, Barbra Streisand. They want those divas. And it's just like a huge part of our drag culture. So I think all performers should have like at least one illusion under your
yeah.
belt. So it's fun though.
Chad used to say, you know, obviously, like, the queer community is a little more refined and critical when it comes to, like, well, who's really Adele or who's really this
right.
or that? He's like, but baby, from working in Lacage for so many years, for straight people coming into a casino, anybody with a blonde wig and big fake boobs is Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Anybody with a leotard and a black wig and a skinny is Cher.
Is Cher, yep.
And he's like, and you have to know, you know, we talk about this all the time, like, performing at a brunch. A brunch is usually going to be a lot of people that have never, they're not going to go to a night show.
Right, right.
So if it's going to be a lot of straight people, give them a sing-along.
Give them that, yes.
Give them what you don't, you're doing to work too hard if you try to tell all these stories
right. yeah.
and do all these other things that queer people on a Tuesday are going to love.
And some of these girls now, they are out there killing themselves, mm-hmm. like jumping off things, falling. I'm like doing all this extra and I'm like, girl, you're doing a lot. you're doing a lot for that dollar bill. I'm good with
right.
that.
Right, no. And with no insurance.
No, girl, it's a fool. Like I appreciate it. I am entertained by it,
uh-huh.
but I just, yeah, I can't be doing all that.
It's a lot.
My body.
It's a lot.
Yeah, we're not doing all that. The death drops. I'm like, you're definitely dropping, girl.
Yeah.
You're dropping.
But since you've been in town, you've been doing shows.
I have been.
You always seem to find a way. And you know, I can remember. Before Drag Race, you know, running around was you and Megan,
oh my gosh, yeah.
and Raven,
right.
Morgan,
yeah,
Mayhem. There was a whole group of people that all eventually,
yeah.
for the most part, not everybody, but should have been everybody, filtering onto Drag Race.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it's crazy. Like when I lived in L.A., drag was not what it is now.
Right.
And there wasn't a lot of drag in West Hollywood. You know, we would go out and drag and people would literally be like, who the hell are these drag queens, you know,
right.
it was so bizarre. And then now it's everywhere. Like
yeah.
it's insane how big drag has become. Cause I mean, I remember going out and we would literally be the only queens out at, Here Lounge or the
uh-huh.
Abbey.
Yeah, Here Lounge.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. And now drag is on every corner.
Yeah. You know, I always think obviously there's difference in drag regionally.
Right.
So,
uh-huh.
so you see a different response. But I feel like Atlanta
mm-hmm.
and in Florida were the only two places I had ever performed
uh-huh.
where I experienced people lining up to tip.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember seeing it back in the MySpace days. I would be like, what are they doing? And they're like, girl, that's how people tip.
Yeah. And they love that part of it. Like, they feel like it's this, like, moment, their moment to be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. They love that hand off. You know, now some people will use the tip apps, but for the most part, like in Atlanta, they love that interaction.
Uh-huh.
It's their little kind of moment to shine also. Some people take it a little too far and want to put it in their mouth and do all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, girl, I'm not doing all this for a dollar.
Right. I don't want COVID again.
Yeah, girl, I'm not doing this, honey. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. But I can always remember seeing like all the beautiful trans performers that would be like moving and they would get their money and they would like organize their money as they were performing. And I find myself doing that sometimes, you know, with all $6. No, but
not $6,
but you know what I mean? Like, it was a thing where you would watch, you'd be like, damn, they're methodical. Right. They are really doing that. And it's so elegant.
And I was about to say, there is a way to take the money, you know, don't just snatch and throw it and do all this. There is a way that you can, while you're performing, to take it and let it be almost choreographed as part of it. I hate when girls only stand there and they're just taking money.
Right.
You know, I like for you to perform and then you will get your dollars, but make sure you're still performing. Like the tipping is great, but when I tell you, when someone has like $20 and they want to tip you all one at a time, I'm like, I appreciate this, but it is taking a whole lot of time out of my soul.
Right. Well, what's weird too is like when a girl like will go out and start grabbing the money and like dollar, throw it. Or they'll like go to shower themselves with $4.
Yeah,
and I'm
like, girl,
just hang on to that, baby. It'll look prettier.
Or the best is when someone like, and now I'm not going to get tip, watch. they'll take like $5 and like throw it at you to make it rain. I'm like, girl, that was a sprinkle.
Girl,
the fuck was that?
That was a little dry orgasm.
I'm like, what was that, girl? The worst is when they want you to like kind of chase the dollar.
Oh my God.
Baby.
Put it over their friend's head.
Okay, I'm like, no, girl. I'm like, are you unsure about giving me this dollar? You must need this more than I do, so you can keep.
Are you unsure?
Are you? I mean, what you doing, girl? Yeah,
right.
I can't be bothered with that.
That is so funny. I sometimes feel like I'm the only person who experiences certain things.
No, absolutely not.
You know, I feel like also when we talk about the documentary and we talk about my times performing in the South, I feel like the time when we were raised, there was terms that we would throw around.
Right.
Obviously, that we don't throw around anymore, but you know, people would say like, oh, that's a tranny performer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or they would say that person's a titty queen.
Right.
Or that person's transy.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, all those terms. But we grew up emulating these people that we held as superheroes.
Right.
Like these were the, and still are,
right,
the epitome of glamour. You know, I know this has to be true for you. It was a mark of distinction when you started performing and people would go, oh, I thought you were trans.
Yeah.
Because you would be like, fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
My goal
is to be a female
right.
impersonator.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I have, you know, had work done.
You have?
Oh, just a little bit. No. Can you not tell?
Well, and that's what we talked about, like the editing of pictures or whatever. It's just the next step in application. You want to look a certain way.
Yes. And it's like, you know, and girl, when I tell you that the fans with the girls that get the work done, they're like, oh, you're doing too much, which drives me insane. I'm like, why do you fucking care what I'm doing to my body?
What's
like, it's just, it's so bizarre. But I did it too, because it does make my drag better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had, you know, my butt done because, you know, it, now I can get somewhat naked. I can show body. You know, I love being a boy. I love the transformation part of it. I have no desire to start hormones or doing any of that. But I did this because this is my career. This is what I've been doing for 23 years. So, you know, I think that I wanted to do that to elevate my drag and take it up to another level. And it's my body. So why not?
I mean, and I feel like these conversations are so important because you know, these people that are saying like, oh, this is too much or that's not enough or going back and forth with that, don't realize that that conversation is just these people down here having that conversation.
Right.
Because I'm around some of the most beautiful drag entertainers, trans people, drag kings, all over the place. We all are. And none of those people that I consider to be absolutely beautiful or I say, oh, you have a darling figure or this or that, ever think anything of me less than as beautiful as.
Right.
They would never come to me and be like, you need to do this to improve. Right. They're like, if you like it like that, baby, I like it like right. that. But if you want more, then I'm behind you having more.
I've got friends that are pumped to hell and you know, fillers and all that. And if that's what you like, baby, go ahead. It's not hurting me. It's not interfering with my life. If that's what you need to do to make yourself happy or feel more comfortable, go at it. But it's so bizarre when people come to your photos and they're like, girl, what have you done to your face? Mm-hmm. Girl, what have you done? I'm like,
everything I needed to.
Baby, it's right. What are you talking about? Like, it's so bizarre. Right. I can't imagine some of the things that people say to myself or that I've seen them say to other queens. I'm like, the fucking audacity. You know, it's so
And it's
bizarre.
Always somebody with a profile that says, like, all hate will be blocked.
Okay.
And, I'm living my life. Live yours. And it's
like, girl,
why are you so upset?
Yeah, it's also the ugliest people have the most to say. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
That's absolutely true. It's always those people.
I'm like, girl, you fucking troll.
Let's hell. Take a break. We are back, kikiing with Phoenix about a little bit of everything. This is the part of the show called Read Me Delta.
Read Me Delta!
I think people are really nice with their letters. I do feel bad for some people because I start answering the letter and then I'm like, never mind. Right. I want to talk about something else.
I love your little letter opener.
Isn't that
so professional?
Thanks. Okay. First letter, dear Delta and guest, I recently had a dream where I walked into a Dunkin' Donuts and found Delta working behind the counter. She was so excited to share with me a new coffee creation she had just made, a Red Hot Cinnamon Latte.
Okay.
I tried it and it was surprisingly delicious. Are hot cinnamon candies very Delta? If you could create a new coffee drink, what would it be? Thank you for being in my dream. Adoringly, very Christopher. I like cinnamon. I like cinnamon candy
also,
a
yeah.
lot. I like cinnamon gum.
Uh-huh. Me too.
I love to get like, is it icebreakers that have like the square gum?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then also something else like a mint that is cinnamon and then a gum that's cinnamon.
Okay.
Or if I peppermint, the same thing. I like it to match up.
Right.
And I want to overload it, especially if I'm going to like a meet and greet or something, mm-hmm. because you want people to hear you.
Right.
And they'll be like, ooh, girl, you've been on that patio.
Funk, girl. That
girl, where you been?
Yeah. I mean, I've always got like Altoids and stuff with me because I'm big on, you know, there's nothing worse than walking up to, especially to like a queen. You know, I like to smell good. I like for my breath to smell good because we all know those girls that. My breath would be a little funky. You know what I mean?
Well, and especially like, if a girl's cocktailing whatever. Like, you're aware.
Right.
Like, you're aware.
Oh, yeah.
We've been in a community where we're around people smoking weeds.
Right.
Snorting coke, and you can see it in their fucking nose. It's like, girl, pull that shit up.
Triggered! Shit
up. Why are you letting all that hang out? You're wasting, girl.
Right.
You know, but again, just any of those things, even just being in a stale room.
Right, yeah.
You know? But as far as cinnamon, do you drink coffee?
I do, yeah.
You do? Uh-huh. Would you drink a Red Hot cinnamon coffee?
That might be
a little much for me. Candy in it.
Yeah, a Red Hot coffee, yeah, no.
What's your coffee order? Hot or cold?
So I like hot.
Okay.
And people are like, you know, the whole like stereotype, the gays with the iced coffee. I'm a hot coffee kind of person.
Okay.
Normally like a French vanilla latte, something like that, with oat milk.
Now, what if there's only almond milk?
Fuck it.
You have a nut allergy.
I have a nut allergy. no, normally I like the oat milk, but I mean, I'll even do regular. It's fine, but I do prefer oat milk.
If you go to a donut shop, what's your donut choice?
Oh, I love a like lemon filled.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Like a lemon filled, a raspberry filled. I like to be filled.
No, you do cream filled, bitch.
Oh, cream filled, honey.
Nasty. I feel like most people always seem to go for like what you would call a fancy donut, like an apple fritter or something like that. That's not you.
No, that's not me. That's not my vibe.
I like that about you.
Yeah, I like.
Wait, when's your birthday?
December 12th, Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah. That means something.
Yeah, and I'm a fire sign. I'm a ginger natural. So maybe the fire is flowing.
You do have beautiful. Your natural hair color
thank
is
you.
Stunning.
Thank you.
It's like I feel like people always always shoot for like the perfect red or the perfect blonde. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that want the perfect blonde, it's usually like an ash,
right,
something like that. But the red, I think it's universally people love an orangey,
I was about to say, I've been wearing, you know, blonde and red are my colors that I wear in drag, but I'm loving that kind of orangey red, like copper penny color red. I love it.
It's my favorite,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's so pretty, yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to find good wigs like
it
that.
Is. Yeah.
Because you remember back in the day before before there were like super good quality lace wigs, we were starting to get a lot of like beauty shop wigs that had decent enough lace. We weren't that concerned about the lace.
Right.
But you would always get that 1, 1B, 2, maybe a 613. And they'd only get like two in
two
stock.
Two of them, yep.
But
I would go buy both of them.
I need those companies to start coming out with more like reds.
Yes, that like, vibrant kind of red. How are you with, do you prefer a lace front or do you like to make your own wig lines?
It depends. If I'm wearing something that's sort of flat-ish, I do like a lace front. But if I'm doing something big, I kind of still like that old school.
I do
like,
too.
The little spongy.
Yes. And I mean like the back combing of it.
Yeah.
Because I do see some lace fronts and I'm like, just because it's a lace front doesn't mean you can just plop that thing on your head, because it just, you know, some of them still need to be shadowed and groomed a little bit, you know, pluck the hairs out, you know, because some of them is just like a, like that arch, girl, no.
Right. And, you know, I don't think, again, we're going back to asking people and shadowing people who do know that.
Right.
You know, all these years later of doing drag, you know, when I sat down with Bianca, Bianca being here, I had only worked with her a few times. Uh-huh. And I just straight up asked her. I was like, how do you do that?
Right.
And she was very honest with her information. She's like,
her
I take this step. She's
amazing.
She's like, baby, it's so simple. It's just if you don't know.
Right.
But you can ask me. And
absolutely.
Then, and I was like, oh, you're so, I did say, I was like, you're so generous with your information. She's like, not with everybody. I was like, thank you. I love hearing that.
She is the bitchiness on stage.
Right.
Is amazing, but then offstage, just so sweet.
So sweet, so generous, and really does have so much more knowledge than a lot of people even know, because she's been so many people and had so many kinds of jobs.
The stuff that comes out of that girl's mouth makes me want to crawl
under
the table.
And,
I'm like, oh
and we'll
God.
Be deadpan with it.
Absolutely.
Deadpan with it. I live.
I do too.
I live. Okay, this looks like a short letter.
Okay.
Dear Delta and Very Phoenix, what are your thoughts about buying frozen vegetables? Are you a fresh produce, organic veggie girl, or more like a freezer food devotee girl? Eco-friendly regards, Veggie Raptor. Do you like vegetables?
I do like vegetables. Mm-hmm. It depends on what I'm cooking. I love to cook, so it depends on what I'm cooking. Normally, I'll do fresh vegetables. I love like a zucchini or squash, and then... But if I'm doing like a soup or something like that, I'll buy frozen vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, normally I don't really do frozen vegetables if I'm just kind of eating that alone.
As like a side
it's fresh.
I'm with you on that. Do you have a like a preferred soup? Are you a soup person?
I love a like tomato basil.
Mm-hmm.
A chunky tomato basil is so good. A like vegetable beef soup, especially when it's like cold. A clam chowder. I love something like that. So,
yeah.
Especially when it's cold out. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I recently made a casserole and I thought I would skip the fresh broccoli step and just use packaged broccoli. And
no,
baby, first of all, I made the casserole and I was like, I actually don't want to eat this tonight.
Right, right.
So I put the foil over the dish and I put it in the refrigerator. And something activated in there. And you know, broccoli is really fresh.
Yeah,
she smells.
Yeah, was it
like? Farts.
Oh, yeah.
It made that whole refrigerator and that whole kitchen stink.
It's a no for me. Mm-mm.
It was not. But the food itself was good.
Right.
But when I, like, because I cooked it the next day, but.
Do you do Brussels sprouts?
I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah,
I do. In any way. And shaved. If you want to gussy them up with bacon, if you don't, I'm fine with that.
Me too.
I can't do peas.
Okay.
I have a really, I can do pea soup.
Uh-huh.
But I can't do peas.
Why? What is it, the texture?
It's the texture.
Okay.
And this is interesting. I've probably said this before, but I think it bears repeating. I also don't like cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes.
Okay. Why?
Because peas and those two things, I don't like the way they feel when they bust in my mouth, which isn't that strange. Because those are the only three things that I don't like busting in my mouth.
Right.
Right. So why are you so picky, bitch?
I love a cherry tomato. I can just eat them.
Ooh, they just taste earthen or something.
Really?
To me.
I love them. I can just eat them plain.
Will you eat a tomato sandwich?
Oh, absolutely.
Will you eat Maybe. Fried green tomatoes?
Absolutely. Yeah. I am Southern.
Ketchup?
Yeah.
I love that. Do you eat at like barbecue places?
Oh, yeah.
Can you do brisket burnt ends?
Brisket burnt ends? Like, oh, like the char? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a place.
I don't know why I'm playing with her because, like I said, I went to her home. And we had all these side dishes because my favorite, I could eat no meat and just have side dishes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Or I can eat the meat, whatever. Right. But it was
so good.
Good.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I don't
God.
Ever, I can't eat all that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But every now
it's
and
heavy.
Then, it's, yeah, every now and then, because it's also, it just reminds me of like my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every now and then I'll kind of indulge and do something like that.
I was supposed to live there.
Yeah.
I was supposed
yeah.
to be you.
Yum. Yeah.
But here I am.
Here you are.
Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, Delta.
This is so fun.
It was so fun. I knew I was so excited just to come and kind of catch up. It's been forever since we've seen each other. So it was, I was excited just to come and catch up with
I'm
you.
So glad.
Yeah.
I know your show tonight's going to be amazing.
Yes, yes, yes.
I should show up and go like this.
You should. Maybe okay. chase that dollar girl.
Right. Come get it.
Throw
come
that $3 at me. Make it sprinkle.
Make it sprinkle. Make me tinkle. Thank you all so much for listening to and watching Very Delta. Our show comes out every Monday. Subscribe to Mom Podcast on the YouTube channel and turn on your notifications so you never miss an episode. Search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps and listen to the audio-only version if you can't handle all this beauty. Because honestly, you will go into
mean.
A coma. I mean, hello. I love when you earlier you were like, baby, because it's right.
Because it's right, girl.
Girl, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Exactly. What are you talking about? You can also sign up for our premier offerings on Mom Plus Gold by visiting mompodcast.plus, where you get weekly episodes of more Very Delta. And don't forget to send all of your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram @DeltaWork. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm more active on Instagram than anything. So Phoenix_ATL. That's kind of what it is mm-hmm. on all of them. Twitter.
They know where the hell you are.
Yes.
Stop playing.
Find me,
Stop
baby.
Playing in her face.
Find me.
We love you so much. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And until next week, keep things very Delta. To listen to Very Delta ad-free, a day early, and to get access to more Very Delta, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcast.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom, hosted by Delta Work. Production supervision and engineering by Margo Padilla. Editing and post-production by Doug Robertson, with original theme music by Will Pitts. Executive produced by Willem, Alaska, Big Dipper, Camille Stennis, and Joe Cilio. There's no fish here to fry, really. I'm not really frying fish. I'm trying to figure out how to catch the fucking fish. You know what I'm saying?
Mom!
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.